You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
This morning, we're going to tie up the thoughts that we've been sharing just concerning Joshua and concerning when God shows up. We looked at Moses and what happened when God showed up in his life, and now we're looking at Joshua after the death of Moses and seeing what happens when God shows up. I ask you this every week, but I believe that it needs to be articulated, even though it's somewhat of a rhetorical question, and it's this: how many understand there's something that happens, there's something different that takes place when God shows up? Amen? Sure. And that's our prayer. I often tell our staff and ministry team, the most important element of this service is God's presence. Without God's presence, well, it might be a motivational talk. It might be a form of entertainment. It might even bless us in our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. But without the touch of God and the anointing of God, our spirit is not connected to. And see, we're a spirit people. God is a spirit. And the problem in so many of our lives is that we try to approach God just simply in our mind, our will, our emotions, intellectually. But God is a spirit. And Jesus told the woman at the well that they that worship God must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. And so this isn't just an intellectual gathering. It's just not a soulish gathering that speaks to our emotions and we like the rhythm of the song. But every song that we sang this morning theologically was packed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the word of God that we preach today is the gospel of Jesus Christ, his will and testament. And it does more than simply hit our intellect. It has to. If not, we'll just simply be religious people. The Pharisees knew the word of God. Listen, the devil knows the word of God inside and out. It's not enough to be religious. What it's about is a relationship. What it's about is being a part of a family, the family of God, the kingdom of God, the army of God, and then walking in obedience with him. And so, God, speak to our spirit, touch us to the point of change this morning. Joshua chapter 1 and verses number 1 through 9. Next week, we're going to take another step, move on in this, but this is this morning. There's so much in this passage of scripture concerning when God shows up and how to walk and how to live that out, how to see God maximize, how to see our lives reflect the very presence of the Lord. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving them to the people of Israel. Now let me just highlight this quickly today. Here's what this is talking about. God's saying, listen, Joshua, you have to let go of yesterday. That's huge. Because for 40 years, Moses was this incredible leader. Talk about incredible leader. You read over in Hebrews chapter 3, and I just happened to be reading there this morning. And the first verses emphasize to us that Jesus is better than Moses. So the author in Hebrews there is saying, listen, Moses was amazing. Moses was the incredible deliverer. People revered, even though they rebelled, and even though they were a very difficult group, the children of Israel through the years understood the greatness of Moses. You know, Moses, so great that God himself buried Moses, recognizing the children of Israel would probably make a shrine and worship Moses. And God is saying, listen, that's gone. You don't forget the great stories. You don't forget all the miracles. Those are reminders, but you've got to move forward now. You can't live in the past. I was thinking as well, Isaiah, and we'll look at this at some juncture, says in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. King Uzziah had been a great king, but it wasn't until this great king and all the security that this great king brought, wasn't until Moses passed and all the security that Moses brought, that's when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Now here's Joshua. Moses is gone. Now it's time for you to see the Lord high and lifted up. Folks, God wants to reveal himself to us. We learned that when we talked about the burning bush. God wants to reveal himself. He wants to get our attention so he can reveal himself, so he can talk to us. So let go of yesterday. That's not just a simple phrase. Now, just let go. You just got to forget. Just come to the altar and forget. Everything's going to be fine. Just set it to the side. How many know it's just hard to just set it to the side? It's going to be the most difficult thing some of you ever do is setting your past or setting some victory behind you. It's going to take the grace of God, the power of God. Let go of the past expectations, past victories. I'm not saying forget, you got to let go. God doesn't do it the same way every time. Let go of the past frustrations and failures. He had been a spy. His report wasn't highly looked upon. People tended to go with the negative report over the positive report. So let go of those past frustrations and failures. We talked about this, just using a phrase, yesterday ended last night. And so we have to stop rehashing and rehearsing and replaying over and over. When we wake up and we think today's going to be a new day, but then all of a sudden we start rehashing. We go to bed and we're rehashing. We find ourselves daydreaming and we're rehashing what we would say and what we would do and all the injustice of life. We've got to change the way we think. Only God can change the way we think, because when he changes our heart, he not only changes our heart, he changes our mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's got to be a heart change and a mind change so there can be a change in what we speak. We need fresh bread. We don't want to eat stale bread. We don't want to eat that which is spoiled. We talked last week about the refrigerator and the scientific projects that we grow in our refrigerators. We finally clean them out and we look at it and we say, that's amazing. That is amazing. I can't believe that grew in my refrigerator. But we don't eat it. We throw it away. Yesterday ended last night. Can't sell on yesterday's win. We can't live on yesterday's anointing. So then, accept God's promises. Accept God's promises. And then we talked about this. Accept God's will. Accept God's promises. Accept God's will. Let's go back to our reading this morning. Start in verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Every place that your sole of your foot, the will of God. You walk out the will of God. The will of God is not crisis. The will of God should be so natural. The reason the will of God becomes crisis in so many people's life, I believe, is this. It's because we get serious about the will of God when we're trying to convince God to do what we want to do rather than what he wants to do. The will of God should be natural because Jesus is our example. Not my will, but thy will be done. The will of God should come so natural. I didn't come to do my will, but I came to do the will of my Father. Just as I promised to Moses, verse 4, from the wilderness to this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, to the going down, shall be your territory. Now, here's where we talk about accept his promises. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according. That's all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. That is powerful. So we talked about accepting. Accept. In this instance, it's not claim. I understand the whole idea of claiming and whatever we say. I get that. If we say to this mountain, remove hence. But in this passage, it's already been done. And I believe in so much of New Testament, it's already been done. And it's not so much as claiming it as it is accepting it. So I accept God's promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I accept his will, and his will's not always easy. And sometimes we think because it's easy, because this seemed right, then it must be God's will. Just because it's easy doesn't mean it's God's will. Hello? We talked about Jonah. We're going to talk about him more in a few weeks. It was easy. The Bible says Jonah went down. It was easy for him to go the wrong direction and to leave Nineveh and head the opposite direction. So a lot of people say, well, it was just easy. No, just because it's easy doesn't mean that it's God. God's will is to be walked out. That is a daily process. And we've taught on the Lord's Prayer two times since I've been your pastor, and this word teaches us, and a part of our daily expression to God is this, that we're to pray, thy kingdom come. Kingdom, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. So I'm praying the kingdom. I'm praying righteous, right living. I'm praying joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm praying peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Righteousness, joy, and peace, and I'm praying the power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray the kingdom of God over this church, those four things. I pray the kingdom of God over my wife and over my children and over their spouses and over my grandson. I pray the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come and thy will. What's your will, God? See, I took a little quiz. Just a little informative quiz recently. I saw, will you live to be 80? Well, no man knows. It's appointed unto man once to die. I have no idea. I'm praying for 120, but who knows? I had it in my Bible, and I hadn't seen it in a long time. It's just a little bitty piece of paper, and it's tucked in there. And it was about a guy, and everybody was yelling and screaming for him. And he was running the 100-meter race. And he finished, and when he finished, people went berserk. And he finished in 22 seconds. Now, how many know that's extremely slow? But he won first place for the 90 to 95 year old division. And I said, I can beat 22 seconds when I'm 90. Give me a chance, God. We don't know how long we're going to live, but these years that we have, do you know that the key to joy, the key to fulfillment, the key to leaving a legacy in your life is this. It's realizing life's not about you. That it's all about pleasing God. And it's all about fulfilling His will and not yours. And that's where the real joy comes. And so the will of God is to be lived out. It should be so natural. Oh, what do I do? Well, are you praying every day? Are you in His Word every day? Are you walking? Opportunities come. Are you in fellowship? My sheep know my voice. I think it's so natural when we're walking it out. And so we accept His will. Here this morning, accept God's presence and power. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's the power. Everybody say power. Power. No man shall be able to stand before you. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Everybody say presence. That's God's power, and that's God's presence. See, Joshua needed to move forward for his own sake because he was being called by God. He needed to move forward for the people's sake. It was all for God's sake. And so what he needed was this assurance of God's presence and of God's power. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. I want you to see this. It says, keep your life free from the love of money. See, that's what most people pray for. And we hear about all the crisis, and I hear it all, what's going to happen September 11th, and what's going to happen to our currency, what's the whole fold, the housing prices are going to go down, 50%, and our savings are going to be lost 30 to 50%, and the devaluation of our money, and all these things. I hear it. I hear it all the time. Here's the way to live. Keep yourself free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And remember what we talked about when we talked about this particular passage of Scripture? That it's the strongest negative in the Greek. It really comes across, I will never, never, never leave you or forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man can do to me. See, here's what happens when we realize God is with us. If you are led by your soulish realm, if you're led simply by what you own, what you have, how much you saved, if you're led by this world standard of success, you're going to live in fear, propagate fear. If you live by God's word and you realize God has said, I will never, never, never leave you or forsake you, then here's what happens. Number one, you have confidence. You have confidence. Look at verse 6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I'm not going to fear what man can do. 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. We have confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, not my will, his will, that he hears us. Of course, we believe this, Philippians 1, 6. And I'm sure of this, that he who began that good work in you will bring it to completion. God's working, my confidence is in him, and he's going to see me through. Amen? So, when God's with us, we have incredible confidence. We have boldness. Confidence and faith are actually interchangeable. And whenever I realize God is with me, it builds my faith, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He will never, never, never leave me or forsake me. I know God is with me. I know whatever I face, I know I'm going to see it through. I know I will come out of this. God is with me. Amen. So there's this confidence. Here's the second thing we get when we understand God's presence and power is perspective. Perspective. We can confidently say, I will not fear what man can do. There's a perspective. We see God. We see God big. How big is your God this morning? How do you see God? How do you see God? Is he big enough? Is he big enough to help you to change in your marriage? Is he big enough to help you? Do you see a God that's concerned about your kids and big enough to reach your kids, no matter how tangled of a mess they may have made with their lives? Is he big enough to provide for you regardless of what Wall Street does? Perspective. Liz and I, for several years, were state youth directors for the Assemblies of God for the state of Illinois. Part of our job responsibility was Chicago outreach, East St. Louis outreach, two different outreaches. Inner city of Chicago, Robert Taylor Homes, what used to be the Cabrini Green, the high rises. I've played basketball on those courts, preached on semi-trailers, talked to people, gone door to door through the high rises of those projects, walked some of the most drug-infested streets that you'll find in America. When we would go into Chicago, one of the things that was always interesting to me, and we'd do this, and we'd bring 500 or 600 kids from across America that would be in for that week. We never had an incident in 10 years of this. We led it for 4 years, but in being involved for 10 years, never had an incident with these kids and the projects. But what was interesting, we'd go up what was then the Sears Tower, and you look at the city, and it's absolutely magnificent. Chicago's a wonderful, amazing city. One of my favorite cities in the whole world. When you are in the midst of the city, all you see is these tall buildings, or you'd be in the projects, you just see the projects around you. But when you would get up on top, you could see how it was all laid out, and it seemed to all make sense. When we were driving, it was before GPS, and you know, you have your wingman there, and he's saying, turn here, turn here, turn here, turn here. It was back in the day when you had a beeper and you had to stop at the payphone. It was a lot different down here than it was up here. See, that's perspective. What we need to do is say, God, put me on your wings. Let me have your perspective. Because all I see right now is fear. All I see right now is collapse. All I see right now is failure. All I see right now is despair. I can't see. I can't get any sunshine. I can't breathe. And God is able to help us through his word and by his spirit so that we can look down and we can have his perspective. Oh, God, help me to see things the way you see it, and it radically changes things. It's when we know that God's presence and power is with us. Perspective. How about this? God's presence and power brings peace, a peace that passes all understanding. When you know God, if when you're reminded, and that's what God's telling Joshua over and over and over. And what that does is it gives you peace. How about this? It gives you courage. It gives you courage. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. See, when we have courage, we're able to step out. When we have courage, there's a boldness. It's really that confidence, that faith. They're connected. When Luke, young man who led worship this morning, Paige, young lady that couldn't stand still during worship. Those are my babies. And when they were little, a little bit older than Freddie Ryder, well, I would set them up on the counter and they could stand, and I would set them up on the counter. And I'd say, jump, 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 come on. And you know what they do? Unabandoned. Thought they were Superman. They would just jump. Their confidence was they knew I was going to catch them. A lot of people think that when God says take that step, that have that courage, that confidence, that God's going to go, whoops. Not one time when Luke would be there and I'd say, jump, come on, buddy, jump, Luke, come on, jump. He'd jump and I'd go, boom, he'd fall. I'd say, see, son, you got to learn not to trust everybody. Well, a lot of people think that's how God is. I would never do that. If an earthly father knows how to do right, how much more is the heavenly father? Hello? The courage. Courage. I got a prayer request this week via email from a missionary that's in a community that has been invaded by ISIS. And he said this, he said, please pray. He wrote this to a friend of mine forwarded it to me to pray. That ISIS had invaded a primarily Christian community. And that all the forces, all the UN forces had pulled out. And ISIS was going door to door. And they would knock on the door and they would ask for the children. And they would ask the children to denounce Jesus and live. But if they wouldn't, they'd be killed. And he said, to date, not one child, not one young person has denounced Christ. And every one of them has been killed. They haven't killed the parents as of yet, but they're killing the children and young people. The missionary said, pray, how do I minister? What do I say? Sometimes we think that having the confidence and the perspective and the peace and the courage always leads to some type of, we have a preconceived idea of victory. I look at these people and I think they've got more confidence than I have. They have more perspective than I have. See, I look at it and I have an American lens that I see how all this fits together for my personal gain. They look at it and they say, you know what? God's with us. No matter what we face, doesn't matter what man can do to me. They look at it and they have a perspective that God is bigger. They look at it and they have a peace that regardless what happens to them or their family, they look at it and they have a courage. And there's young people that will say, it doesn't matter what you do to me. I serve my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a different kind of faith than what we know. Here's what I can tell you today. God is faithful. God is faithful. Most people want magic. They're not looking for miracles. Most people want magic. They're not looking for God to work and grow. Most people's view of success and prosperity has to do with their personal gain. All through the Bible, it has to do with being in the will and the plan and the purpose. I read this story years ago. It was a little boy who was three or four years old. His mama had died tragically. And his daddy now was left with this little four-year-old boy to try to explain and reason and love. The night of the funeral, after it was over, his dad tucked this little boy in bed, and they spent some time together. His dad was trying to answer all the questions that a four-year-old little boy could have concerning the tragic death of his mom. Finally, he thought he had the boy calm down, and he went to his bedroom and he turned out the lights, only to hear the little boy in the bedroom call out to him. So his dad slipped out of the bedroom and he went to the little boy and picked him up and brought him into his own bedroom and put him in bed with him. He thought it would calm him, but the little boy just kept asking questions. And finally, the little boy said this in the darkness of night. He said, "Daddy, is your face toward me?" He said, "Yes, son, it is." And the little boy reached out and he touched his dad's face in the darkness of night. He couldn't see it, but he could tell his father's face was towards him. And the little boy said, "I think I can sleep now, Dad." No matter what we face, God is with us. There's a confidence when God is with us that supersedes anything that may transpire, whatever may happen. And there's a confidence, and there's a perspective, and there's a peace, and there's a courage to face life and to face it with a faith that goes beyond simply the surface of things spiritual, but that goes to the very heart of a God who understands. God's face is towards you today. And whatever you may face, you can reach out. And when you can touch his face by faith, you can reach out. He'll give you a grace. He'll give you a courage. He'll give you a perspective. He'll give you a peace. And he'll give you a confidence. Can you say amen? Amen. Father, I love you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you're with us. Lord, I pray. I pray your grace today. I pray your peace this morning. I pray that you would minister to folks right where they're at. God, all the religion, folks, we didn't get to talking about prosperity. It was intertwined in. But he said, you'll have good prosperity and you'll have success. He'll make our way prosperous and success. That doesn't mean that we don't face the enemy. It means God's with us. His word. It's not enough to have his word simply in our head. It's got to become rhema and living in our heart. There's a lot of people that have the Logos word, and they can tear you to shreds with their theology, but they do not understand the compassion and love and the reaching out. You know, it's always easy to have courage and have a word for someone else. Do you know that? It's always easy to tell other people what to do. Oh, just hang in there. Oh, just hang in there. Listen, God doesn't just say, hang in there. He says, I'm not going to leave you, and my presence is with you. I don't want to simply give you a trite expression of the church. I'm trying to communicate to you about a God who loves you so much. He sent Jesus to identify with you and to take your sins. And he'll hold you and walk with you. His grace, his power, his presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.